It is God's will that all men be saved. That's a message of 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. Prayer is necessary for that. He says, I desire that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all men, kings and those in high places, that we might live a tranquil and peaceful life in all godliness and gravity, for this is well a pleasing to God, who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there's one mediator between God and man, himself man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. He wants all men to be saved. Now he'll tell us in verses 8 through 15, the role that he has given men and given women to accomplish his desire to save all men. Whatever role God gives us, whatever that is, we should be thrilled to have part in God's work. God, through the sacrifice of his own son, snatched us out of the fires of hell and gave us eternal life. And even more than that, he gives us the privilege of joining hands with him in the only work that lasts eternally. When our eyes close, there's only one thing that matters, and that's our relationship with our God. And he wants all men to be saved. He gives us roles in our life, male and female. He's going to give us different roles. And in the process, remember, in the sight of God and in the sight of Jesus Christ, the highest calling there is to be a slave. Isn't that amazing? When they were arguing who is the greatest in Matthew 20, Jesus talks about the rulers of the Gentiles running over, but he says, but it'll not be so with you. But I say unto you, whosoever would be first, let him be your servant. Whosoever would be the greatest, let him be your slave. For Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for the many. Amen. There's nothing greater than being a slave of our Lord Jesus Christ, the highest thing in this world. So we want to see and understand the role God has given us to glorify his name. He says, I desire, therefore, that men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands without wrath and disputing. Paul says, I desire that. The word desire there speaks of his purposes. That's his will. Paul received his authority from Jesus to speak. So he is speaking in place of Jesus. So when he says, I desire, he's saying, Jesus desires this. God's will is that men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands, that the men pray. And he uses a word there for man is aner. He does not use anthropos. Anthropos is mankind, often translated man, but it means mankind. But this word, that he wants to pray in every place, is man. Aner is opposed to women and children. It's an adult, mature man. He wants them to pray in any assembly where men and women are present. He wants the men to pray in every place. Whatever place that is, he wants the men to be leading in prayer. Every place. Every place where women must be dressed properly is the context, as he'll let us know in the next two verses. Because in this context, she must be dressed properly. So it's in every place. This is not the Sunday assembly he's talking about. This is not the assembly he's talking about. It may include this one, but that's not his context here. The context in the Sunday assembly is what Tyler just read. Let the women keep silence in the churches. This is a different context, as we'll see as we go along. Every place, lifting up holy hands. Now the word holy here, I'm sorry, this morning I'm going to speak about several Greek words because they have definite meanings that sometimes we pass over in English. This word is hosios, not hagios. Hagios is translated holy, just like this is. But hagios speaks of being like God, separated from all worldly things. This word, hosios, is speaking of that which is in accordance with the divine direction and providence of God. It's walking according to God's will. It is a pious, pure, clean action in accordance with God's will and God's command. This man is translated holy, is translated well. But understand, it's a different word than is used from separation. He's talking about our walk right here according to God's word. We walk worthy of God, holy of God, and he says, without wrath and disputing. He says, well, that's a strange thing to say. Why be praying with wrath and disputing? Because if you remember from chapter 1, the reason he left Timothy at Ephesus was to charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine. They were having a problem there. There was fighting. There was infighting going on. So he says, this prayer is without wrath and disputing. This is pure, holy prayer to God. Then he gives instruction to women. Women in the church from the rest of this chapter, in like manner, that women adorn themselves. This is what I said, in all places, every place. Women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefastness, sobriety, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly raiment. Any place where women and men are present, they have to adorn themselves in modest apparel in God's sight. Some don't. They're not Christians. If the women aren't dressed properly when they're amongst men, they're not walking according to God's will. So in every place, whether it's our Bible studies, whether it's our cell meetings or whatever it is, every place where there's men and women, any place where women are to be dressed properly, he wants men to pray, to lead the prayers. We'll see later in verse 11, he wants men to do the teaching. He's given the roles of men and women, which must be different, so they join hands so that God can save all men. That's the purpose in all of it. In like manner, He starts that out. In like manner, verse 8, he gave instructions to the man. In verse 8, he'll give instructions to the women. But that which becometh women professing godliness through good works. He's stressing the inward woman is more important than the outward appearance, which he always does. The heart is what God wants. We have to walk righteously in our appearance fleshly, but it's not impressing people with what you're dressed with. I thank God that women are beautiful. God made them beautiful. God made them to be attractive to men. But they're to be dressed modestly when they're in the midst of men. He says, but that which becometh women professing godliness. The word professing here is a present participle. And it means to proclaim. It means to speak forth. It means to promise, to claim. It's what she's continually doing, and she's doing that professing herself to be godly. She is to be actively and continuously professing and showing everybody that she's a godly woman. Godly. Theosabeia is the word up there. Theos, the first part of that word, we know means God. Sabomai means to adore, to worship, to hold in highest respect. It's a word sometimes translated sabomai. The second part of the word is often translated worship. Her godliness is her dedication and her adoration to God, and she is continually professing that before all people. That's the godly woman, and she does that through her good works. Her adorning, which is professing this godliness, is through her good works. Women are to be doing good works. What works? Well, if you go back to your salvation, by grace were you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works that no man should glory, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. God afore prepared the place where everyone's to walk. And he gives men certain roles and he gives women certain roles to accomplish that task so that God could continue his business of saving all men. Like I said, we should be thrilled with whatever role God gives us. Then he tells us how women and men are in regard to each other, women in respect to man and to God. He says, let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection. Let a woman learn in quietness. Listen, a woman is equal to man, totally equal to man. Salvation, eternal life is hers just as much as it is man's. When he talks about our salvation in Galatians 3, he says, we're all saved through faith, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And he goes on to say, where there can be neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision, uncircumcision, male or female, for they're all one in Christ Jesus. We're all one in Christ Jesus, but God has given us different roles to each one. It's based on creation. He's going to tell us two reasons in this context, but it's based on the creation of God and His purpose. God created man and He created woman just like He wants them to be. To fulfill His work, everyone should be looking for God. While I said before, we're created anew in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. You remember Psalms 139, verse about 16. He says, "Thou hast seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they're all written, even all the days ordained for me, when as yet there were none of them." God said, "I've laid out the life for every one of you. You walk in that role that I gave you to glorify God, to save lost souls, snatching them out of Satan's hand. Let the woman learn in quietness." She is to learn. She's to be a learner. That word, it's the verb here because it's active. She's to be learning. It's present tense also. Continually learning. It's imperative, which is a command. He's commanding you ladies to be learning. The noun of this word, as I've got written up there, we translate disciple. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's the noun of this verb. It is a disciple. He is a learner, a follower after his teacher. Remember what Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is perfected, will be as his teacher. So whether you're male or female, we're learning. And he says the women are commanded to be continually learning to be just like Jesus. That's his command. He lets us by this statement know how important women are in God's plan. He tells us she is to be a teacher of younger women in Titus 2, 3, and 4. He tells us she is to rule the household. 5, verse 14, Paul says, "I desire therefore that the younger widows marry, bear children, rule the household. Give no occasion to the adversary for reviling." She's to rule her household. That, according to God's will, that takes a knowledge of God's will and understanding. She is to raise children according to God's will. She has to know God's word. She is a learner, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a helpmeet of her husband, of a godly man. Takes a godly woman who knows the will of God. She's doing all this learning in quietness. Let a woman learn. The word "let" here is an imperative, but it's a third person imperative, which the English language can't use. But the Greek language does use it. It's a command. We only command second person. But the Greek commands a third person through the second person. So we translate it, "Let her do this." Well, it's more than that. It's a command for her to do it. But he's speaking to the second person, not the third person. If you follow all that, that's grammar stuff, which most of us didn't learn much of when we were in school. I certainly didn't. I learned, like I've often said, I learned all my grammar studying Greek, not English. In school, English was a class that I thought was crazy. Why would I study English when that's what I'm speaking? But I realized later the importance of understanding. Grammar has a definite purpose. And we often miss the point of things because we don't understand the grammar that's taking place. Let her learn in quietness. This is speaking of her character. It's speaking of her demeanor and her attitude. It's not saying she can't speak. Remember what Tyler just read? In the assembly such as this, it said a woman is to be silent. It's a different word. That word is sagao, which means silence. It's used three times in that context in 1 Corinthians. In verse 28, if there's a tongue speaker and there's no translator, it says, let him keep silent. Sit down, shut your mouth, don't speak in a tongue if there's nobody to translate it. Two scriptures later, verse 30, he tells a prophet, he said, if a man speaking and another man gets a revelation, let him sit down and keep silent. Quit teaching and let the guy with the new revelation teach. So then when he gets down to 34, he says, let the women keep silence. Uses the same word in all that. It's not the word he uses here. Hesuxia does not mean she can't say something. It speaks of her whole demeanor, her whole attitude. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Greek Words says, it's the tranquility that arrives from within. A tranquil and a meek spirit, causing no disturbance to others, quiet and peaceful is the meaning of hesuxia. 1 Peter 3, verse 4 associates it with meekness, where 1 Peter 3 is addressing ladies that are married to unbelievers and their actions. And he says there, 1 Peter 3, 4, let it be the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible apparel of the meek and quiet spirit, which is right in the sight of God of great price. So he puts that in there with meekness. It's only used here and in the next verse, verse 12, uses the word hesuxia. It's used two other places. When Paul is taken by the Jews in chapter 22 of Acts, he goes up on the stairs of the castle and he asks the man there, the captain, let him speak to the people. He says in verse 2, and when they heard him speak in the Hebrew language, they were the more quiet. That's this word right here. Doesn't mean they quit saying anything, but they quiet down so they could hear Paul. So in every place where the woman is to keep silence, it doesn't mean she can't read a scripture. It doesn't mean she can't give her opinion of something. It means she can't be argumentative and loud and disruptive. She has a quiet and a gentle spirit. That's her makeup. It's used again in 2 Thessalonians 3:12, where Paul's admonishing these people that are not working to get to work. And he says, now them that are such we command to exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and do their own business. Doesn't mean they quit speaking. But it talks about their attitude. As I said, it's not the word used in 1 Corinthians, which Tyler just read, where they're to be silent. That is sagao, not hesuxia. And that's all in the context of this assembly right here. Because he starts in verse 26 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. And the context, he says, when you're all gathered together, then the women are to keep silent. He's talking about this context here. With all subjection. The word subjection here means to place yourself under. It's a military term where lower ranks are under the higher ranking people. It is subjecting yourself. It's subordination. God has made the husband the head of the family, and he's given the man the responsibility of spiritual leadership. That falls on us men. You men, listen. That's a serious charge that I just said. God holds you responsible for the physical and the spiritual care of your family. Spiritual. It's a shame that many families, the wife has more knowledge of God's will than the husband does. That's a shame. It ought to be a terrible embarrassment. Because God holds you responsible, men, for the spiritual leadership of your family. We'll answer to God for how we did that. But I permit not a woman to teach nor have dominion over a man. She is not to be teaching. When? Stay in the context. When's she not to be teaching? Where men and women are gathered together. Where? Any place. Any place where there's men and women, the man has a responsibility of teaching. He says, I permit not a woman to teach, but to be, nor to have dominion over a man. Well, what was she learning for up there? Because she is commanded to teach. But not where there's men. Titus 2, 3 and 4, which I mentioned a while ago, the aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers nor enslaved with much wine, teachers. Teachers of that which is good. A woman is commanded to be teachers of that which is good, that they train the young women to love their husbands and love their children. And he goes on and he ends verse 5 by saying that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, brethren, these are God's words, not my words. And some of these things are said here in our modern society, who is following Satan instead of God. You'd say, well, this is putting the women down. No, it's not putting them down. It's letting them know what God's role is, and it's different for men than it is for women. And if I come up with these ideas, I might need to apologize for them, but I don't need to apologize for what God said. There's no apology for God's word. God is telling us his desire, nor to have dominion. The word dominion there means to act on one's own authority. She's not to act on her own authority. She's not to exercise the authority. She's not to have the mastery. She's not to be an autocrat. Those are all definitions that you read when you read the lexicons. Then Paul tells us why. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. That's just a fact of creation. That's just a fact. You can't argue with that. Adam was formed first, then Eve, and but Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen into transgression. He gives two reasons. Man was formed first and given the responsibility of being the head. From the very first, God commanded male spiritual leadership. And he creates woman for a different purpose. We'll talk about that in a little while. Eve was beguiled and sinned. She sinned first. They both sinned, but she sinned first. You know that from Genesis 3, 1 through 6. This is all God's inspired word. Paul just wrote them down. It was God's purpose in creation of the two. Many, many scriptures, if you read in the creation in Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, chapter 5, verse 2, he speaks of Adam singular as them plural. He says, let us make them in our image. And what did he create? Adam. And in chapter 5, verse 2, he said, he created them male and female and called their plural, name Adam, singular. He created all the animals. He created them male and female, two bodies. But he created Adam, one body, but within that one body, there's male and female. Because we know what happened. He says in chapter 2, verse 18, it's not good for man to be alone. Then he brings in 19 through 20, all the 21, all these animals, and he has Adam name them. Name means he states their character. The character of all these animals. At the end of verse 20 says, and for man, there was not found a helpmeet for him. So we know what happens. He took a rib out of Adam, and he made Eve and brought her back to him. God created women a special creation. Nothing else was created like a woman was created. She is special, unlike any other creature. Nothing in the world can compare to God's creation of woman. She is special. God created her special for a special purpose that none can fulfill except the woman. However, Satan has got our country and the world trying to swap roles, it's a failure. God created them the way he wants them, and he gives them different roles so that his purpose can be fulfilled. A woman's role does many things that a man is totally incapable of doing. We don't have the same reason or purpose in God's sight. Women are special, not like anything else. There's nothing as pure and pretty and comforting as the word mother. That's my mother. Women fulfill a role. For example, when we're in Thailand, there I usually teach 3 or 4 hours per day. Robert knows. He's fallen into there also. Well, if I teach 3 or 4 hours a day, that means I have to study 8 hours a day. So usually when I'm in Thailand, I do nothing but teach and study and teach and study. I do nothing. My wife, Penny, takes care of all the purchase of food, the fixing of food, the feeding of me, the cleaning of the house, the washing of my clothes. She takes care of everything so that I can do my teaching. That's a helpmeet that God prepared, and she's just as important in the teaching of God's word as I am, who's doing the speaking. Y'all know Klein Payton? Gerald Payton? I know Clyde and Gerald and Harold. But their mother had two other sons. I don't know the other two. I know three of them. That lady, I don't know what happened to her husband, I've never heard. But that lady raised five men. Every one of those five were active full-time preachers and missionaries and established and taught in a school that has put preachers and missionaries around the world. Mike, me, all of the Ames students. Let me tell you, you can't count the millions of people that'll be in heaven because of one woman. One woman. You think about it, ladies. You have a heavy and a beautiful job that God's given you. You're important. Raising children, showing great hospitality. Visitations. I'm always marveled. I go see somebody in the hospital, and some of you ladies are there. Taking care of your husbands, cooking, taking care of children. The ladies in this congregation amaze me with your abilities and your service. In a little while, we'll go there and eat. Who takes care of all that kitchen and cleans it and does all that? The ladies of this congregation. Great teachers. My wife says the ladies' class is amazing. Great teachers. Ladies serving God, raising children, supporting their husband. And she shall be saved through her childbearing if they continue in faith, love, sanctification with sobriety. She shall be saved. The she shall be saved, that's four words. It comes from one Greek word, which says all of that. But it's singular. So many commentators think that that singular is still speaking of Eve from verses 13 and 14. And that she shall be saved through her childbearing. That noun is singular also. So many commentators think that that's speaking of Eve, who was beguiled but heard the promise in Genesis 3:15, her seed would bruise Satan's head. So many commentators says that's talking about the woman bringing the Messiah into the world. The Messiah who had no fleshly father, but a mother. But that's probably not the point here at all. Because the very next phrase says, and they, if they, that's plural. So the she singular here is used like many passages in the Bible speak of sin. Although there's multitude of sins, it says sin. Because it puts in one big ball all the sins of the world and calls it sin. This lady here, she shall be saved, is a singular word talking about all them that continue in the faith. So No doubt he's talking about those that continue in the faith. In her childbearing, that word is a word that is a compound of a child and law. It speaks of the rearing of a family. Some people have said, well, I got to have a child or I can't be saved. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the purpose of a woman. What did he say? What did Paul just say a while ago? In 1 Timothy 5:14, what was his will for a woman, a young widow? That she marry, bear children, rule the household. That's God's created role for women. And he tells them, verse 14, the woman was beguiled. It comes right out of Genesis 3. And she receives a punishment for being beguiled right there. After he says in verse 15 of chapter 3, Genesis, that the seed of woman bruises his head. But he says to the woman, under the woman, he said, he is God, Jehovah God. He's talking. I'll greatly multiply thy pain and thy conception. In pain thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be in her husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's God's statement of his punishment for her transgression. Now, Adam receives punishment for his, if you read 17 through 19 in chapter 3. That's because he wasn't beguiled. He just took the food from his wife and ate it. She was deceived by Satan into thinking her eating that food would make her like God. He wasn't beguiled. He knew better. He was just stupid. Because verse 3 says, she took of the fruit and ate it and gave it to her husband who was with her. He was with her and let Satan deceive her. So he's going to till the ground and prepare it and plant seed. And he's going to raise thorns and thistles. I understand that. I was a farmer. Sweat of his brow, he'll wreak out a living on this ground. So he receives his punishment. Barnes tells us that that word, technogonia, is synonymous with education. Meaning, where have I got what he wrote down here? Meaning that by proper, I'm quoting Barnes, meaning that by proper training her children, she can obtain salvation as well as her husband, that being her appropriate duty and not public teaching, but the training of her family. This brings her salvation. If they continue faith, love, sanctification with sobriety. Time is past. I'd like to talk about faith, love, sanctification, and sobriety. But I'd like to just make the statement that the faith and the love and the sanctification, that sanctification is from the base word of hagios, separated from worldly things. But she does all this with sobriety. And that word sobriety means of a sound mind. A sound mind that thinks correctly according to God's will and follows that will. God desires all men to be saved. Therefore, constant prayer is needed because there's one mediator between God and man. He gave himself a ransom for all, of which Paul says in verse 7, we're in chapter 2 here, that he was made an apostle and a preacher and a teacher. Then he tells us how we join hands in all that work of God so that God could bring all men to salvation. Again, we should be so appreciative of God who gives us the wonderful privilege of joining hands with him in the greatest work in the whole world. God has given each one of us, whether you're a woman or a man, a stewardship. Are we fulfilling that stewardship in God? Are you part of that work of God in saving souls around the world? If you're not, get in Christ. I say every time I'm up here, outside of Christ, there is nothing. Nothing. David says, beyond thee, I have no good. Out of Christ, there is no good. I'd plead with anybody that's not here, get in Christ. Accept the role that God gave us and glorify God. Join hands with him in the work that we'll see throughout all eternity. Just consider the multitudes who will be thanking one woman, the Paden's mother. Each one of us is vitally important in God's word. If you need to come to God, if you need to get in Christ, get in Christ. Start that work, which is the most wonderful work in the world. And follow it to the end. We'll sing a song. Listen, if you have any need, if you're out of Christ, come forward now and make it right. Accept the role, the stewardship God gave us, and glorify him and save souls. Just come forward while we stand and sing.